subway train. You're calling all the shots. You strip a lightning. You're in love. Welcome back in the press row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And that you're off to a great start to the week. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome back, not welcome in, welcome back into press row, Hamilton County Mayor Jim Coppinger. Mayor Coppinger, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, David, and thank you for having me back.
Oh, we enjoyed it last time. We'd get you every week, but you're a busy guy.
Well, so are you, so we're both busy.
All right, let me ask you this, because I have to admit, I never liked the comparison of the coronavirus to the seasonal flu when this first started happening, but I have to admit, I was so wrong, because I thought once the Deep South heat and humidity, I thought it would do a number on this thing like it typically does the flu. What about the coronavirus over the last few weeks and months would you say has surprised you most?
Well, I mean, I was like you, David. I mean, I was hopeful that when the heat came and we could all get out in the sunshine that it somehow dissipate, but that certainly hasn't been the case. Our numbers are up again today. But, you know, no one's just so we all feel good about being wrong. There's no one that I know that all the models that I've looked at, and I've probably looked at 7 or 8 different models, and none of them were right. So we're just in an unprecedented time where you know, we continue to learn something about this virus almost daily, but certainly weekly and monthly, we learn new things about what this virus is capable of.
And, you know, I was over actually for the 4th. My dad lives in Charlotte, and, of course, North Carolina is a state that is mandating the mask, and you recently in Hamilton County issued a mandate. But then, you know, the city says it's not going to be really enforced at all. What was kind of the back and forth with that, and how did we kind of wind up here?
Yeah, well, let me just first of all say that, you know, it was really a tough decision about mandating a mask. I agree with people. I mean, it's really important that we allow people to have the liberties to make their own choices. And again, this does have a sunset on it. It's not a permanent mandate. So I hope people understand that. But if you look at the numbers and what we were seeing, and just kind of equate it to this, this has been going on about 4 months, and if we had had 38 homicides in our county in the 4-month period, we'd be extremely concerned, and we'd be trying to take some kind of action to make some intervention to minimize this kind of risk to our community. So, again, I mean, it's been a battle from the very beginning. For the city, you know, I did get a call from Mayor Burke today, and I think you're going to hear an announcement. They just wanted to approach it from a different angle and not have their law enforcement people doing any of the enforcement. But, you know, again, I as I said last week, initially I was very disappointed because, you know, this is something that Chattanooga and all of us have looked at for quite some time. They wanted it long before now, but, you know, I kept looking at hospitalization numbers that were important to me, the numbers of ICU beds and then also, you know, the number of active cases. And just looking at today's data from where we were last week, we're up several hundred active cases. We're up to over 1,300 now in our community, and that's quite a bit for a community our size.
All right, and I know we're all in agreement. We don't like wearing them. I went to church yesterday and had to wear it for an hour, but I got to take it off when I read the scripture and again during communion. What is the longest? Because, I mean, it was one of those things that for like 30 minutes, it was just like brutal. What's the longest you've had to wear a mask consecutively?
Oh, gosh, I guess probably, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah, that's a long time.
You know, I don't. Well, yes, I don't do very many face-to-face meetings anymore. They're generally done by Zoom or WebEx or some other means. And so I'm generally in a room by myself conducting meetings where it's not required. And as you know, there are a lot of exemptions to this mandate, which, you know, people that have health conditions are not required. People, you know, our young people under 12 are not required. And then, if you're outside and you can socially distance, that's the best thing for you, and it's not required there either. So, you know, there's a number of ways that people that are uncomfortable with it can only have to be in it for a limited amount of time, like grocery shopping, or, you know, if you got to go to the Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever. So, again, you know, we're just asking people to bear with us through this period of time to where we can minimize the spread in our community. What we're seeing is that, you know, obviously this virus is extremely contagious, and it will kill you. So I think it would be an irresponsible thing for us to take no action whatsoever. So we're trying to do what we think can minimize the impact on our economy. We got to keep our businesses open. It's extremely important. It helps us, again, obviously minimize unemployment. We were at 14% 2 months ago. Last month we were down to 10. So, you know, again, this is the price we're paying with the mask to be able to keep the economy open, to keep unemployment down, and to continue to move forward to have a healthy and safe community to live in.
What will it take for us to have high school football? I know you love high school football as much as anybody in the studio.
Absolutely. I'm optimistic that we can do that. As we've opened things up, we've always found some creative ways to open restaurants and as well as retail and all the businesses, obviously, that we could. Daycares, we've found ways, and we've gotten a lot of help. Let me just say this, David. It's really important to note, you know, the community has really stepped up and helped. People that, you know, work in certain businesses and professions every single day have come to us with some great ideas and says, you know, we can make this happen. Here's our plan on how to do it. We've been able to share that with the state, and some of that's been implemented. And again, it's a result of a great community that we all work together to try to find a way to make it happen instead of to be obstructionists. So I'm really proud that the participation from the community, and I'm hopeful that we're going to continue to see that with our high school football and college football and all of our contact sports. I'm hoping that we can you know, think outside the box, get a lot of good input, and minimize the risk to the participants, players, and coaches, and such.
You're listening to Hamilton County Mayor Jim Coppinger here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Mayor, when was the last time you talked to Brian, Dr. Johnson? And I mean, this is a sports show mainly, but the bigger picture and the biggest employer in our county is our school system. And I mean, I know you've got a tough job. I can't imagine how difficult the challenges in front of Brian Johnson are on a daily basis.
We talk several times a week. You know, I don't think it's any secret how supportive I am of Dr. Johnson and what they're trying to accomplish. He has a task force. Our health department is part of that task force that's looking, you know, every day at how to get schools back open and minimize the risk to the students and the teachers. And, you know, again, it's not an easy task. You know, we should all be supportive of what they're trying to do. I think, and I've said this publicly, I think it's incredibly important for our students to get back face-to-face with their teachers. And I also think it's important for them to be able to interact with their classmates and, again, enjoy the experience that most of us had, David, to be able to grow up, you know, in a normal environment, which allowed us to grow as individuals and to have that experience.
I hesitate because I don't know what you had for lunch, but has anybody called to protest about it yet?
Well, I mean, we've had our fair share of protesters. We've had our share about equally our share of supporters. You know, this thing really splits down the middle pretty much. I mean, people that, you know, they feel strongly one way or the other. And I have to remind people that, you know, it's not permanent. I mean, you know, seatbelts were permanent, child restraint, smoking in buildings, you know, just to name a few were permanent changes. Using our cell phone in the car. But for some reason, and it may be this environment we're in now politically, this one seems to top them all as far as people thinking that it's stepping on their liberties. And you know, I don't, and again, this was not permanent. The ones I just mentioned are. So again, we just want, you know, people to get on board, to help us, you know, move the numbers downward in a positive way for all of the citizens in this county. And to remember, you know, we're protecting each other, you know, whether you think you're, have symptoms or not. You may be one that is asymptomatic, but you can still spread and you are shedding the virus. So, again, we need the cooperation of everyone out there, but to keep in mind that this is not a permanent mandate.
Mayor, David asked you earlier about the city and whether and their role in enforcing this. Do you know if any of Sheriff Hammond's people have issued citations for noncompliance with the mask?
Well, Jay, you know, it's been great this weekend. As, you know, I had to be out a couple of times, and I saw what I saw was 100% compliance, other than, you know, the people that were peacefully protesting at the courthouse and you know, we're okay with protests or whatever, and particularly being outside, it's not nearly as make you nearly as vulnerable as it does being inside. You know, again, Sheriff Hammonds has been very cooperative from the very beginning, and what we've all said is that, you know, people are not going to go to jail. We don't want people to go to jail for this. You know, we're trying to keep people out of jail. Matter of fact, it's really expensive on the taxpayers to lock people up. But again, there had to be some mechanism in here for people that just want to be obstinate in that, you know, they just tell people, I don't have to do it. And, you know, we're hopeful that there doesn't have to be citations written, certainly, you know, where people don't have to go to jail and don't believe that any of that's going to happen. So we should spend more time focusing on the, you know, the cooperation, because, you know, obviously, as I was out over the weekend and what we received back is the intel is people were being extremely cooperative and in compliance. And so I don't want to talk about the punitive part of it too much. I think most people realize the seriousness of it, and they're willing to help out by participating in it. And just hopefully, you know, we don't come to citation writing.
Kind of on in a different direction, the coronavirus is part of almost every story we could tell in the newspaper, every conversation we have on the radio, and even among the folks we see day to day. But you've got a lot of different big things happening. I mean, in a normal year, the budget would have been the biggest story of the summer. Heck, the CCA folks who run the jails in our county giving notice that they don't want to do business anymore would have been a monster story. Heck, even Wednesday's meeting with a cockamamie, asinine vote about reinstating the discretionary funds would have been a big story. But how do you have to make yourself and your staff kind of refocus on the job of governing in all facets?
You're absolutely correct. I am so fortunate and always have been blessed to be surrounded by some really great professional people, some staff people that are, they're not what I call clock watchers. I mean, they average over 50 hours a week in their jobs working, and they only get paid for 40. But again, I mean, it's been a team effort. As you said, we had a tornado on Easter Sunday, and dealing with that along at the same time we were dealing with the coronavirus. And as you said, you know, CoreCivic pulling out of the contract, a budget where we didn't have, we had to balance a budget with no additional revenue from sales or property tax factored in. So again, you know, it's the hard work of these individuals that run these respective departments and the leadership there that certainly made it a doable situation, and we didn't have to raise taxes or even discuss taxes or anything like that this year. Everybody just rolled up their sleeves and said, I'm willing to do without. And so we actually, from our original request, you know, frankly, Jade and David, we were flying high in February because, you know, we hadn't had any of these situations come up, and our numbers were way up and everything looked great. And so we were in a really good situation. It just shows how quickly things can change, and you better be able to adapt. And so to the staff that was able to do that, we immediately cut $29 million out of requests. and went, you know, back to what you and I do at home. I mean, we went to the bare minimum, and we were really grateful we don't have to cut any services or anything like that, and didn't have to ask for any additional revenues from the public. So.
You're listening to Hamilton County Mayor Jim Coppinger here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Jim, you've been great again. Thank you so much. Before we let you go,
Thank
I just
you.
Wanted to ask you just one question. It's a story that's in the news, and I know it's a downtown situation, but I was curious if you had the opportunity to speak to some of the protesters over the George Floyd. I think we all agree that was an absolutely senseless killing that should have never happened, and most of these protests have been peaceful, but in the past few days, you've had a situation with a couple of the leaders of the protest, you know, taking a flag, burning a flag. Last Friday, these protesters prevented an emergency vehicle from getting to a crash that involved a motorcycle where the guy was in serious injuries. What would be just kind of your advice to the protesters who are still out there?
Well, I mean, I would just say to the protesters, I mean, we all know the George Floyd thing was a horrific incident that occurred, and it was just totally wrong. And I haven't heard anyone say that, you know, anything differently. So, again, you know, I understand the initial emotional part of it and what's continuing to happen now. Let's just remember, I would just say let's continue to respect one another. We should respect the flag. I didn't serve. My father served in World War II, and I have numerous people I know that served in Vietnam War that are still around, you know, that are very active in their veterans programs, as well as, you know, all of the different events that we've had throughout the country here in the United States, and particularly in the Middle East. And, you know, there's people out there every day, you know, that are fighting for our liberties and our freedoms, and that flag represents them. And I'm just one, and it's just my opinion. It just breaks my heart to see the American flag desecrated in any way. And I know that it was the sheriff's personal flag. I know what it means to the men and women that serve in that organization. When I was in the fire department, Chattanooga Fire Department still has their own flag that's a symbol for what they do. So I know how hurtful that can be. And I just want the protesters to understand, you know, what they're protesting for and what means so much to them is, you know, when you're desecrating these other people's flags and materials, you know, how important those symbols are to them. And they don't represent anything other than their service to you and I, the people. And I, for one, frankly, can't imagine what this country or even my neighborhood would look like without law enforcement here to enforce the laws.
Well, Mayor Coppinger, thanks as always. Hopefully the next time you, Jay, and
Thank you.
Can all get together, maybe we can talk. You can share some old high school football battle stories, and we don't have to talk about such serious things.
Well, it wouldn't take long to talk about my high school football
story. Mayor Coppinger, thanks for all that you do. We appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.